Good morning, everybody. One or two words of housekeeping. Firstly, before worship, I just want to say a few words about the proposed disciple course on John's Gospel, which I mentioned in early September. I've got a number of people interested. If there are any more who are still considering it or you know of anybody who would like to do it, please have a word with me as soon as possible. And then for those who have indicated that they are interested, I shall be in touch shortly, initially by email, and those that don't have email, I'll try and get in touch in other ways about how we can get together and start to think about when we might meet in 2026. And then a few words about the service today. It's slightly different from what we're used to when we have a communion service. Firstly, we're going to do the prayers of intercession as part of the communion liturgy. And I shall mention a few topics that you perhaps could remember during those prayers. I shan't mention them individually, but perhaps we might be aware of the situation in the Caribbean after the hurricane. Might also think about the events on the train last night near Huntingdon. And there are many other stories about Palestine, Ukraine, which have been ongoing for some time. So keep those in mind when we come to prayer. It is an All Saints theme service, and all the thinking will be about who are saints and how we can be one. So with that in mind, let us begin with some words of scripture to call us to worship. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterward. Now he is seated in the place of the highest honor beside God's throne in heaven. Welcome to this service when we remember that we are in the presence of God the Father who loves us, the Son who heals us, and the Spirit who comforts us. We continue as we sing the hymn, For All the Saints. Release it. And now we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, of the living and of the dead, we thank you for all those people who by their love, their inspiration and their kindness have made the world a better place, or who have made us better people by their example. We give thanks for all the saints, the famous ones and the little known ones, those officially recognized and acclaimed, and those whose particular grace was known only to a few. And we thank you for all the saints whose witness has defined our nations and churches, whose stories we tell and recount, and those we have yet to hear, and whose stories wait to dazzle and inspire us. We thank you for the saints with whom we gather each week, for those with whom we share faith and worship, and for those who reveal to us the currents of a different tradition. For all your saints, for your holy presence in human lives, we give you thanks, Lord. Amen. When a great cloud of witnesses around us, we try to run the race that lies ahead. Help us, God of truth, to lay aside every weight and the sin that restricts our movement. Forgive us for the times when we fail to clothe ourselves in love, and enable us to fix our eyes on Jesus, in whom we have found our hope. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect into the one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son. Give us grace to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those unspeakable joys which you have prepared for those who unfeignedly love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As some of you may be aware, we're coming to the end of half term. We haven't any children with us, but we do have Adrienne and Aria and Malachi with us, and we're pleased that they're here today. So do have a word with them over coffee. And Malachi, I'm sure, will give you a smile. We're going to sing again, Glorious Things Are Thee Spoken.
Thank you.
We sit now for our Old Testament reading, please.
So the reading from the Old Testament this morning is from Leviticus 19, but just selected verses from that. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make gods of cast metal for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Thanks be to God for his word.
We sing our next hymn, which is a modern version about the saints. It's written by John Bell, "For All the Saints." Please sit for our gospel reading.
I'm reading from the New International Version, and it's Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them the Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Amen.
Yesterday was the festival of All Saints. Today is the festival of All Souls, when we remember all the faithful who have lived and died. At All Saints, we remember all the lives of faithful Christians throughout history, the people who have and have not registered in our consciousness, yet made a contribution to God's kingdom. St. Paul begins many of his church letters in the way he writes to the Philippian Christians. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. So what is it to be a saint? If you were to ask who is a saint, answers might include one of the first Christians, Paul, Peter, Andrew. You might look into history, Julian of Norwich, St. Patrick, or one of the Celtic saints, Columba, Aidan. Or if you looked more recently, somebody like Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Archbishop Romero of El Salvador. Today, I want to do three things. Firstly, reflect on the word saint and what we mean by the word saint. Secondly, the message that the word saint brings as we remember our friends and family who have died. And then thirdly, how this could affect our own Christian calling. So let's think about the word saint. How the word saint came into use isn't clear, but the word is quite old, and there are references to it in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New, and from these references come five pictures of what a saint could be like. Let's take each in turn. We begin in the Old Testament, where there are two pictures. Picture one, saints are holy people. The Hebrew word kaddish means holy. To be holy is to separate oneself from evil, to dedicate oneself to God. The Jews were traveling from Egypt and they were learning what it is to be God's people. And part of that being God's people involved being holy. They were called to be separate. And we read in Exodus, "You shall be a people consecrated to me." And a little further on, we read these words in Leviticus, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And chapter 19 of Leviticus, which was read for us earlier, is the third book of the Bible. And this chapter 19 could be understood as another version of the Ten Commandments, where the holy person is the one who reveres their parents, who's honest, who worships the Lord in appropriate ways, who's socially responsible, respecting others and caring for those in need. And then we come to the second picture, from the Old Testament. Saints are kind and merciful. This picture follows on from the previous one. Saintly people are chassid, kind or merciful. And these are the qualities of God. Chassid people are godly people because they reflect God's character, both in his mercy, kindness, alongside his holiness. As we come to the New Testament, we find our third picture. But in the New Testament, there's just one word for saints, and it's hagios. It's a bit like kadosh in the Old Testament. Saints are holy people. But within this one word, there are three distinct pictures. And the first of these New Testament pictures is for saints are those who are raised to life through Jesus' death. There's only one reference to saints in the Gospels, and that's in Matthew. In the verse, "For dead saints are resurrected at the Lord's crucifixion, and the death of Jesus provides life for those who believe in God." And then the second picture in the New Testament. Saints are ordinary people who believe in the Lord Jesus. In the book of Acts, three or four references to the saints occur in chapter 9. First, Ananias and then Peter talk about the saints as simply believers in Christ. And Paul continues this in the way that he writes his letters to the churches that he helped to found. If you look at letters to the new churches at Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, and Thessalonica, and his personal one to Philemon, in each instance, the saints simply are the people who name Jesus as Lord, who bear true and faithful witness to Christ in what they say, in the way they live. So being a saint is about what Christians do each day as they let the Spirit from Christ be part of their lives. I think the third New Testament picture is the saint who is a martyr. And this picture is found in the book of Revelation. And the word saint occurs here more times than in every other single book. It's about 13 times. And the meaning is further defined. Saints not only name Jesus as Lord, but they are faithful and true witnesses for Jesus. Little wonder the early church considered witnesses who were martyred for their testimonies to be saints. And soon these saints were accorded special honor, even worship. And unfortunately, the term saints eventually came to be applied only to these special people. So the word saint has its roots deep in the Bible. How can the word saint help us as we remember friends and family who have died? 2008 was a different year for me. Dad died. For the first 20 years of my ministry, I had been caring for the bereaved without having experienced it personally. And since then, I have been able to reflect on my own feelings. I miss Father because, like me, he was a Methodist minister. And we would talk a lot about ministry and other things. And he has been, for me, an example of how I think about my own ministry. Now, each of us may have special people in our lives. A parent, a partner, a work collaborator, a friend, a member of the church family. People whose lives have left their imprint on ours, whose memory we treasure. Now, the Christian Festival of All Saints dates from the 9th century. Other saints' lives have been commemorated at other times of the year for much longer. The most ancient celebrations in the 3rd century were in remembrance of the martyrs, those who'd given their lives because of their faith. As so many ordinary godly women and men had lived lives that inspired the church, a specific day was set. All Saints' Day provides an opportunity to look at the witness of a few extraordinary Christians and also a lot of very ordinary ones who have followed Jesus in extraordinary ways. They have blessed others through their faith, and they themselves have been blessed. And it is appropriate at this season of All Saints, we remember members of our family and friends alongside the many people who have lived in earlier times. And then thirdly, how should this all affect our own Christian calling? I think we should be encouraged and continue our witness vigorously. Chapter 11 of the letter to the Hebrews, with which I began the service, contains an account of the lives of heroes of the past. And chapter 12, the writer continues, since we're surrounded by a crowd of faithful witnesses from the past, we must keep our faithful witness to our Lord. A message for any faithful community, including us at High Street. The writer of the Hebrews letter wrote for a church where they were strongly tempted to give up. And the teaching in that letter is punctuated with short paragraphs encouraging the readers to keep faithful and to continue their witness with renewed vigor. And we too should take heart, not give up when times are difficult. We can learn much from the Bible pictures about the lifestyle involved in saintly living. From the Old Testament, what it is to be holy. We need to be single-minded. We need to set ourselves apart to serve God in the way God needs, using talents and gifts we've been given with a single-mindedness to live by the values that are set out in the Bible. The holiness code of living in Leviticus 19 gives God his rightful place in our lives, revering his name and adopting his values, respecting those who are part of our near family and caring for those who are members of the wider human family. And learning from the second Old Testament picture, we need to be kind and merciful in our dealings with others because we do not live in isolation, but with others. And then coming to the New Testament, we can learn from the three pictures there. We don't have to be an extraordinary person to live a saintly life. Most saints are just people like you and me, living ordinary lives in everyday places. And despite our ordinariness, we do need to be faithful to Jesus throughout our lives, no matter what situations we may find ourselves in, even to death. And there are still many places in the world, even in the 21st century, where Christians may be martyred for their beliefs. And lastly, never forget all who trust in the Lord Jesus are saved through his sacrificial death on Good Friday. Paul wrote to the Philippians, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, or should I amend it, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at High Street Methodist. All of us ordinary people whom God has called in Whitney to live his way, to be his saints in Oxfordshire, in the UK, in the world, to be a witness in this community to those amongst whom we live and work. God calls you and me. He needs witnesses in every generation. Will you hear and answer his call? Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, you have brought us into being to be your saints, the children of your love. Here and now, we are your saints, your children, infinitely loved and treasured. As yet, we are feeble saints, but we will share such wonders when we see you as you are, wonders beyond our dreams. We are your children here and now, but we are coming with Jesus, who shared our human life, to be perfected with him, who is perfect with you, holy and glorious and good, beyond our imagining. Let it be seen by the lives of love we live, that we really are your children, your saints, coming to maturity. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next hymn, Where Can We Find You, is a hymn that actually suggests the ways that we can actually be saints by caring for others. Cast a fall. release it. We come now to our communion prayers. First, we begin with some words of invitation. At the Last Supper, Jesus, sharing bread and wine, invited the disciples to share his journey. Like many grains of wheat becoming one loaf of bread, the disciples were invited to become one body with him. And here, through bread and wine, we renew our journey with Jesus and his disciples. Here, through bread and wine, we renew our unity with one another and with all those who have gone before us in this place. Through bread and wine, we renew our communion with the earth and our interwovenness with the broken ones of the world. So come, taste of this bread and wine, gifts of the earth, work of human hands, and food both of earth and heaven. We hear now the story of the first Lord's Supper. Among friends gathered round a table, Jesus took bread, and having blessed it, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." In the same way, he took wine, and having given thanks for it, he poured it out. "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Take this and share it. I shall drink wine with you next in the coming kingdom of God." So now, following Jesus' example, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world through which God will bless us. And as Jesus offered thanks for the earth, let us also celebrate God's goodness. Blessed are you, O God, for you have brought forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, O God, for you have created the fruit of the vine. In the beginning you watered the earth, that man and woman might have food and drink. You gave to your servant Sarah bread to strengthen her family on their journey and wine to make them glad. You called Moses and his people out of bondage and refreshed them with food in the wilderness. You gave Mary and Jesus their daily bread to share. And here at your table, you offer us bread and wine for the journey, to nourish our sons and daughters. And so with all our sisters and brothers, before us and beside us, we join in the song of your unending greatness as we say together, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Lord Jesus, present with us now, as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room. Breathe your spirit upon us and upon this bread and this wine, that they may be heaven's food and drink for us, renewing, sustaining, and making us whole, loving and caring in the world. We pray now for all that concerns us as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. Lord God, as we come to share the richness of your table, we cannot forget the rawness of the earth. We cannot take bread and forget those who are hungry. Your world is one world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We cannot take wine and forget those who are thirsty, the ground and the rootless. The earth and its weary people cry out for justice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We cannot hear your words of peace and forget the world at war, or if not at war, then preparing for it. Show us quickly, Lord, how to turn weapons into welcome signs and the lust for power into a desire for peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We cannot celebrate the feast of your family and forget our divisions. We are one in spirit, but not in fact. History and hurt still dismember us. Lord, heal your church in every brokenness. And as we think of that, we bring before you those of this church family who have needs at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Breathe your spirit upon us and upon this bread and this wine, that they may be heaven's food and drink for us, renewing, sustaining, and making us whole, loving and caring in the world. Amen. The Lord's table is ready. The steward will usher you when it's your turn to come. But first, I invite all those who are assisting or the musicians to come and receive the bread and the wine. Of the peace. As this broken bread was scattered through the fields and the hills before being gathered to become one, so may we and all God's people be gathered from the end of the earth into Christ's kingdom. May the peace of Christ be with you, and let us greet each other with a sign of the peace. I suggest we just greet those immediately near to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as you have given yourself, so we give ourselves to you. Send us out as messengers for Jesus to serve you in the world, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We conclude our worship as we sing the hymn, Come Let Us Join Come let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. God sends us out into the world, not to build walls, but to dismantle barriers, not to load on chains, but to liberate the oppressed, not to close our doors, but to welcome in the stranger, not to further fragment the body of Christ, but to reimagine it. God sends us out into the world to live as a sign of justice and peace of his kingdom. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.